In Hilchos Pesach with Simon Tuf Nun Aleph Dine HaGalas Kalim. So just to remind everyone the schedule, we just have Shir tonight. Tomorrow night, Rav Weimer is giving Shir on Pesach Haggadah. Next week we'll meet Monday and Tuesday to continue the Simon. So the Mechaber says we're going to go through a lot of HaGalas Kalim tonight in the next couple weeks. We saw this in Yerdeya a little bit. So Mechaber, most of the halachas are really found in Hilchos Pesach, not in Yerdeya. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that kederos shel cheres, if you have pots that are made of earthenware, shenishtamish behem chametz kol hashana, that were used with chametz during the entire year, afilu osam sheosam behem daisa uminei kemachim, even if they were types of pots that you use to make different type of wheat and oats and oatmeal maybe, the halacha is mishap shifin hetev b'inyan shelo yeh chametz nikabahem. You should clean them out, wash them out very, very well in such a way where you don't recognize any chametz in these pots. Umotel lahashosan la'achar Pesach, and you could leave them in your cabinets till after Pesach, and l'shamish bem, and use them after Pesach, bein bimino, bein shel bimino, whether you're using it with chametz or not chametz. So in other words, you're just saying if any pots that you're not using for Pesach, just clean them out well, and then store them somewhere. Umatznin bepesach bimakum tzanua, place them in such an area where they're hidden. Sheina ragu lelech sham, a place that you don't go frequently, so you don't come to use them. Kedei shelo yavo lishamish ben bepesach, so that you don't use them. So that's halacha. Again, any pots, earthenware pots, as we'll see, you cannot kasher earthenware pots. Klei cheres can't be kashered, so you have to just clean them from chametz and just store them away. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Beis, he says shel cheres. V'hu adin shar kelim sheinu shel cheres. Other items as well, even if they're not made of kli cheres, im eina rotze lagilan o lilabanam. So there are two types of ways of kashering. We mentioned this in Yerdeya. There are really three types. One type is something used only for cold. How do you kasher something only used for cold? Clean it. Just clean it. You clean it, that's it. If something was used with heat, so if it was used with hot water, so kibolan kipoltan, poltan kach, kibolan kach poltan, the way you absorbed the iser, that's how you extracted, you pulled it. So if it was used with hot water, you do hagala, you boil out the blios. And if it was used with fire, ash, or then you use libun, you turn it red hot. So if you have any other types of kalim, they don't plan on kashering it, not through hagala, not through libun. Gam kein efshir b'hai takanta, this same idea would apply. Lifshaf shafan ulakaiman ad achar pesach. You first have to clean the pots before you put them back. You should first clean them. That's not really shaykh for us. I don't think anyone's putting pots away that have not been cleaned. So, but in case a person would, you should first clean them to make sure there's no chametz there, and then store them for after Pesach. Ela shedibor behove, the reason why the Mechaber chooses a case of klei cheres, because that's a more common scenario of klei cheres. De bishar kelim, because other types of materials, such as metal, kevin shiyeshlem takana, since there's a way to fix it, in other words, there's a way to kash it for Pesach, ain't an osan kane. Most people don't store the metal pots, they'll actually use them for Pesach after kashing it. Rak magilan o milabnam. Okay. Now, there is an interesting discussion here about whether or not you have to sell the blios that are in the kalim. That's a discussion. We're not going to discuss mechiras chametz at all. But the fact that the Mechaber here says all you have to do is clean them, you don't have to deal with kashering the klei cheres, that even though klei cheres can't really be kashered though, Chazon Ish proves from here that when you sell chametz, you don't have to worry about selling the blios, any of the chametz that has been absorbed in the kalim, you just have to sell actual chametz. Though the Chazon Ish was also quoted elsewhere that sometimes he does mention you should sell the blios. How come he has one place you don't sell the blios, one place he says you do sell the blios? So what the disciple explained is that mikadin, you don't have to sell the blios. But to hider, because the chumrah of the Pesach, we have all these chumras of Pesach, he suggests that one should sell them anyways, and why not? We do all these other chumras, why not sell the blios as well, even though you don't have to? How do you say, how does a sale even work on something that not? Yeah, it's a good question also, right? Yeah, I hear. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how it works in terms of Mecha Chamemkar. It's a good question. Now, they point out here also that Bismanenu, Rav Osner, among others, said it's better anyways to buy new kalim than to kasher kalim. I'm not sure, you know, it depends, of course, what a person, what type of finances he has. But typically speaking, a person's capable of buying, so it's better for him to buy new kelim than it is to kasher any kelim. Now, again, each situation depends. I'm not sure some people have special bechers for Pesach, other people use the same bechers as during the year. Kashering a becher really doesn't require kashering. Really, all I have to do is wash it out. We're machmir to do hagala. I wouldn't really call that kashering. So it's kashering, but nothing really is being kashered. But other than that, really, it's advisable if a person has the means to buy new kalim than to kasher kalim. If you look now further in the Mishabura, Sifkatan, hey. The Mechaber writes, do we do this? This is going on, yeah. The Mishabur writes, Afil Osim She'osim, Kolomar, De'oz Heim Bluim Harbei Chametz. He talks about these items that were used to make oatmeal and things like that, which are very absorbed, they're very concentrated with chametz in the walls. So then, V'im Yivasha Behem Acher Pesach. If you use these bowls after Pesach, Bivadai Lo Yehiyah Shishim Negdam. So we know there's a concept of bata b'shishim. If you have a little drop of milk, falls in chulim, if there's 60 times the chulim as there is milk, it's bata b'shishim, you're allowed to eat that chulim. So now you have chametz. Pesach had chametz in it, it was sitting in your pot, and now what happens is, afterwards I use that pot, which had chametz in the b'lios. Chametz she'avar alav Pesach is aser. If you have chametz that remained after Pesach, it's aser. So how can I use these pots? I didn't sell them, I didn't sell the b'lios, and I didn't kasher them. So now if I use them afterwards, it's chametz she'avar alav Pesach, and now when I cook, it's a chicken soup in this pot now, the chametz is going to go into the chicken soup. And it says, no, the chicken soup is going to be mevatel b'shishim any b'lios. Yeah, that's a great suggestion. I'm not sure why. Well, it could be anything. We never saw any limitation on lefkam. The only thing we have that's not lefkam, if there's something sharp, has the ability to bring something back to life. But with regards to chametz, seemingly that would be okay. If it's eino ben yomo, it's no sintan lefkam, and that should be another reason why it shouldn't aser the other stuff. Good question. I don't know. It could be that we don't rely on it lichadchila.
We asked that.
That was... you can't lichadchila. We say we don't do that. But the Eved, if something was cooked...
That was a question, because it said, most of the
time
was
gone
mutter. That was a
lush, right. Yeah, but I think the post can say it's only b'dieved. We don't say you could l'chachila, you know, cook in a meat pot milchiks if it's past 24 hours. If you did, the food's still kosher, though. So let's see what he says. He says, Hatam, da'anakai melan, da'chametz l'achar pesach, min ha'torah mutter. We pask that really make our din. Any chametz that's been left over after Pesach is really mutter. Ve'eino aser ella mishum kanasa. It's a penalty that they said because they didn't want people holding Pesach, rather chametz on Pesach. They penalized anyone who kept Pesach over. The kantsu chachamim, the chachamim penalized amasha hisha hachametz, that chametz which they left over Pesach. V'lo kantsu ella ala chametz shehu be'ein. They only create a penalty on actual chametz, that's be'ein. Of al mashe balua bekli lokansu, that which is absorbed in the kalim, that was never subject to the knas. So lufikach, therefore, mutter afil lichachila levasha behem acharkach. Therefore, lichachila you're allowed to, meaning that chametz that's balua in the kalim is mamish completely mutter. It's chametz is a heter. We know chametz is unique in that it's mutter during most of the year, and then becomes aser on Pesach, but then it becomes mutter yet again. So now it's mutter because it's chametz shavar lePesach, which the iser, the knas, does not apply to that which is balua. And that's why you're allowed to even use those kalim that have a lot of chametz that's absorbed in the walls. You look back, look now, continuing in the Mishabura now, Sifkatan Zayin. Umatznin v'chule, you're supposed to hide these pots. So the Mishabura points out an interesting minog. The yesh noagin, they're those who have the practice, l'sader kli b'dil shel chametz. A bedil is, tin, there you go. Tin, a tin chametz, a tin container that had chametz in it. And besoch habayis, begova kosa b'mokum shen yad ha'odam magas l'sham. You put it really high up, not hiding it, but people would apparently put it high up. You have to climb a ladder to get there, even though they didn't kasher these tin kalim, they would keep it very high up where people couldn't reach it. V'heim sedurin kol yimei ha'pesach l'noi. It was actually being used for to beautify the home. It was decorations of some sort. Vein limchos biyadam. The Mishabur says not to make a big deal of it. Let them do this. Don't reject them for doing this. V'yafa pisha kol davar shegazu alav chachamim machmas chashash. Anytime the chacham created a decree, a gzera, because of a chashash. Shema yishkach v'yishtamish bo, lest they come to use it. Lo chilka b'gzeirasam, they never distinguished whether it's high or low. It should be aser to keep them exposed anywhere. V'aser afilu higbiel sa'adavar eser komos. It's aser even if it's really, really high. K'moshin is bar b'simin reish ayin hey, with regards to reading from a light, a candle on Shabbos. You can't read from a candle on Shabbos because you might come to tilt the oil. But let's say the candle is really, really high. You can't even reach it. They still made a gzeira. So here as well, it's also to leave kalim exposed. Even though it's really high on top of the cabinets, if you didn't kasher it, you can't leave it exposed. Mikal Malkum says the Mishnah Berurah, Kevin She'enin B'nei Yoman, since they're not B'nei Yoman, this is getting to Seth's point, I guess, that Mibliyas Achem Achamet B'shah Shemesadinosan. The moment they started to line the cabinet tops with them, at that point they were no longer no Saint Tam L'Shvach, they already no Saint Tam L'Fgam, it was Enam B'nei Yoman. Mikol Shekein Be'olsen Sherov Tashmishin B'klisheni O'Betonim. So certainly there's a heter. These tin cans were used, let's say, to store flour. They were used for coal, just to store things. So there's no real iser that's being absorbed in the kalim. You emptied out the flour. It's just these were used, they never kashered them. They don't really need to be kashered, he said, because most of these situations of the tins weren't used with something hot enough to create any belios. And therefore, ein lachosh, umikol makom, ha-machmir bazet tavol av bracha. One who does machmir, he's deserving of a big bracha. I don't know if people have this at all anymore, but we see from here the strong approach here that one should really hide all their kalim and put them in a place where you can't use them.
Around like a silver cabinet, you have things on display.
So that's fine. There's no iser to see the kalim. It's just iser to have it exposed where you could use it, accessible.
Like a China closet.
There's no iser of seeing it. It just has to be accessible, I believe. Look at the next line in the Mechaber, what he says you should do. How do you mean that sneer? V'tov l'sagram b'cheder u'latsniya mafteach. Best to put them in a room, or maybe a cabinet, and to hide it with a key. So a key, if you lock up that cabinet, even though you could see it, this is Mechaber now. So, what?
Mark it.
So, yeah, exactly. So look what the Mishnah Berurah writes. In Sifkat and Ches, he says, latsniya mafteach. Wrote to Lomar, what's her idea? So first you have to find the key. Oh, I need that. Where'd that key go? You start looking for the key, and while you're looking for the key, Yizkor Shu Pesach, you're going to remember it's Pesach and say, oh, I can't use it. It's Pesach now. So that key is supposed to be an extra reminder. So the guarding taping it, they quote here from Rav Moshe. It's brought down, Rav Eider brings this down. Shlomo Zalman Orbach as well mentions this, that if you lock it with tape, that works as well, just like a key, because when you're trying to pull off the tape, you're going to be careful. You don't want to rip any of the paint off or whatever type of cabinets you have. So it'll be like sometime, even though you're not looking for the key here, the tape or one of those like chametz reminders or warnings, whatever types of signs you have, do not touch. So that would be sufficient according to Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. So with regards to Ezra's question, even though you could see it, it's the seeing that's not a problem. It's really the accessing it. So as long as there's one step removed from accessing it, that would be sufficient. Then there's no concern. You're not going
to. Lock it.
Yeah, for sure. Not. Exactly. Your house is locked.
Take the tape with you.
Okay. Shulchan Aruch writes now further. Aval hesek sheyasikam be'esh einam olahem. So we're still talking about the earthenware, the china type of kalim. A hesek sheyasik be'esh. If you have a big fire and you want to do libun, einam mo'olahem. Libun, again, just to remind ourselves, is using a blowtorch would be the best way of libun. When you get it so hot, we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch not tonight, if it gets so hot, the metal, let's say, where it turns red, so that type of fire doesn't work for klei cheres. V'lo l'shum klei cheres sh'nishtamish behem chamin. It doesn't work for any type of earthenware pot used with heat. Afilu shelo ayde ha'or ela she'era l'socha roschim. So there are many levels of how things become hot. There's some things that become hot through fire. Some things that become hot through Iroi Kli Rishon. What's Iroi Kli Rishon? Let's say I've got a boiled kettle. That boiled heat, of water in a kettle. I pour the water onto a pot. So that Iroi Kli Rishon, the kettle is a Kli Rishon, because that's the initial source of the boiling the water. I pour it from there into a pot or into a plate. That's Iroi, that's pouring of a Kli Rishon. So Iroi Kli Rishon is Kli Rishon itself. So wherever its spot it falls on, that pot now becomes the status of that water. So let's say it was chametz. I was burning chametz, boiling chametz, and I noodles. I pour it on that spot. So that's called Iroi Kli Rishon. So anything that experienced Iroi Kli Rishon or anything hotter of Kli Cheres cannot be kashered through putting it in hot big fire. The Ramah adds now in the Haggah here, V'yesh Osir Nafilu B'Kli Sheni. Some go so far to say even a Kli Sheni, which means if I put, let's say, I took, what's a good example here? I have the pot here, and I used a ladle. I took the ladle to put it in the chicken soup bowl. That bowl is now a Kli Sheni. It's one step removed. So there's a big machlokus in the Gemara and Shabbos whether Kli Sheni has the ability to be mevashel or not mevashel. It's a machlokus with regards to Hilchos Shabbos. So that's where Ma says there are those who say it's usher if the Kli Cheres was used with only a Kli Sheni. That might be enough heat to make the chametz balua in the soup bowl, and there is no way of kashering it.
Why is it understanding the way to kasher? Why can't you kasher like a golem, which is higher than
Iroi? Why does Nagala work, you're saying, for Kli Cheres?
Not for Kli Cheres, but this is only Kli Cheres?
Yeah, it's all Kli Cheres, yeah. Kli Cheres, it doesn't work. Yeah. So then he says, Vafilu im yimalum gechalum. Let's say you want to fill that bowl with coals. So then I'll turn the fire on, and then I could put it in the oven, and then everything's going to get hot. The inside of the Kli Cheres, the outside of the Kli Cheres, because the way that Kli Cheres works is it only goes one direction. You have to make sure there's heat both in the inside and on the outside as well. So if you line the inside of the Kli Cheres with coals, that should create enough heat on both sides of the Kli Cheres in order to ensure that it's being kashered. So what he says here is, D'chayshinan dilma chayis alayu shema pake. The owner is going to be concerned. If you place coals in your china, it might break. Perish shema yisbaku, it's going to crack. Lo'avid lehu hasaka ma'al, you're not going to let it get hot enough where it's supposed to get real libum. So that's why he says it's not allowed. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, just to explain here, Sifkat and Yud Aleph, afilu b'kli sheni. Even if the Kli Cheres was only used with the Kli Sheni, perish. Afilu lo eira me'akadera letocha rak l'kli acher, v'charka chenia kli zebesocha. Even if you use a ladle, now we said that soup bowl is a Kli Sheni, even that wouldn't be, Liban wouldn't work for that. Uledina, says the Mishnah Berurah, hiskima achronim, the achronim agree to this. D'lechadchila, b'vada yesh l'achmer kedas rama, d'ein l'hatir af, k'shir du'a shalom n'shamish b'chamid rak b'kli sheni. If I know my soup bowl was only used for Kli Sheni, no one uses a soup bowl to put Kli Rishon in. Even Iwer Kli Rishon is unlikely that a person is going to pour from the soup pot directly into the soup bowl. I know for sure my soup bowl was only used for Kli Sheni. L'chadchila yishri machmir, not allow kashering to take place. D'lachain, therefore, b'chli matachos tzarech hagala, when it comes to metal, we know Hagal works for metal. Ubichli cheres, though, when it comes to earthenware, deloma honey hagala, Hagal doesn't work for Kli Cheres, the Gemara explained. It just doesn't work. It's just not a system that works. The hesek, burning it to do libum, ef shar l'shamish baba pesach, amnam b'di eved, im n'shamish b'lo hagala, b'chli she'ein m'shamshin barak b'chli she'ini, okay, yeah, it said there's a kulef nibi. It's not really shaykh for us. If you go back now, go now to Sifka Katan Yud Gimel in the Mishnah Berurah. Did we do this one yet? Yeah, we did this, yeah. So he says... Yeah, that's one of the reasons we make about that case. So if you look at Sifka Katan Yud Gimel, Dilma Chayis Alayu, he says, "She'ain darkon lahasik mifnim el b'vachutz." Ma she'ain kein tanurim afilu shal kli cheres. Let's say you have a tanur, an oven made of kli cheres. Afilu osan shemetaltin osan, even things that are movable, a movable oven. Shedarkon tamid lahasik mifnim. You light the fire of the kli cheres from the inside. Lo chashinon dilma pake umol hesik. When it comes to kli cheres, where the oven gets so hot, so a person isn't concerned he's going to break it, because that's the nature of the oven. It's able to withstand that heat. So if you have a type of oven, which isn't shaykh for us, so then you are able to use a libun for a Kli Cheres type of oven. He says, however, Ach tzarch li zahir shiasi kenu yafe ad shi slabin. So this is a very, very important line in the Mishnah Berurah here. In order to kasher an oven, you have to wait until libun is accomplished. So that's a big machlokas when it comes to our ovens. When it comes to our ovens, are made of what material? Metal. Inside is metal. So now the question becomes: do our ovens require libun? There's libun gamor and there's libun kal. Libun gamor is when the metal turns red hot. So if you ever kashered your stovetops, so if you look, you put the way it's done. If you want to kasher them, is you put a sheet of metal on top or aluminum foil, a couple layers. You turn it on very high. If you look inside, if you turn the lights off, you could see it turns red hot. So it has to turn red hot to accomplish libun gamor. Libun kal is a lower level of heat where the metal has to be hot enough where it could just, you put a napkin to it or a tissue, it's going to catch fire, which is a lower level of heat than libun gamor. So there's a machlokis in the achronim, the poskim, whether our ovens require libun gamor or libun klal, libun kal. So the Mishnah Berurah says you require libun, but what type of libun? So many poskim agree that libun kal is sufficient. At the same time, many argue also that you need a libun gamor. So most ovens nowadays that are made all have the self-clean oven. And kemat, all the poskim say a self-clean oven is able to accomplish the amount of heat you need to create libun gamor. That's the heter. You don't have to even clean anything. We'll see later on. When it comes to libun, we discussed this last week in Yardaya, when it comes to doing libun, libun doesn't extract any isser. Libun purges the isser, it ruins it, makes it into nothing. So you can leave a very dirty oven, turn self-clean on for 3-4 hours, however long it lasts for, and it's completely kashered, and that's it, that's enough. But if you're using libun kal, and if a person has an older oven, or you live in an apartment, apartments oftentimes have an older oven where there isn't a self-clean, so then you'd have to clean out the oven very, very well first. And you'd have to use some type of special cleaner to make sure everything's clean there. Anything you can't remove, then it's you do the best you can. And then you have to put on the oven to the highest setting possible for around an hour or so. That would kasher the oven if you cannot get a self-clean oven. Okay. What?
Porcelain inside.
What's porcelain inside?
The old ovens.
Old ovens, yeah?
That's a
compassionate. I don't know the old ovens. Okay, but now I think they're all metal. Yeah. Okay, so let's look now. Let's continue in the sif here. The sif in the Mechaber writes, Mihu imechziron lekivshan shemetzarfen bo klichar. Let's say you put it back to the ovens where they make these pottery. It's really, really hot. Chadashim, you're making brand new earthenware, then it's mutter. Then you're allowed to. That would actually kasher. But the chayvan shemachnisen lehesek gadol kazeh, since you're putting in such a large furnace, you certainly aren't concerned if it's going to break. You're putting in there, it's meant to break and melt or whatever happens in there. Dimapaki, you're not concerned that's going to happen. You know it will happen, and it doesn't bother you that's going to happen. So that can be a good kashering. Our ovens, which are not such a hot furnace, that would not be sufficient. And then there are adds that kol kliat tzarech libun o hagala, any type of utensil that requires libun or requires hagala, we know already the basics of the way you transfer blios is only through heat. So if I'm using a chametz dikka soup bowl, and I'm putting cold soup in there, no heat, no chametz is coming out of the soup bowl. That should be completely mutter. There's no iser in my soup now if it's cold soup. Still, nonetheless, they made a gzera. You can't use these kalim at all unless you use it with hot. So if you look at the Rama adds Ayin v'Yardea Simon Kuf Chaf Alf. If you remember, we did this last week. Mishnah Berurah just tells us in Siv Katan Tez Ayin Ayin v'Yardea Simon Kuf Chaf Alf. The Sham Mavur there to explain the Derech Arai Mutter L'Shamish Bo Im Chadecho V'Shiv Shev Tchila. We mentioned that you are allowed to actually use Treif Kalim if it's Derech Arai. If it's once in a while, I think when Rabbi Sablowski gave the shir, he used to refer to this as a Howard Johnson. I forget exactly the term he used, but people used to go to Howard Johnson hotels. I guess that was a popular hotel back then. Are they still around, those hotels? Okay, they're all around. Yeah? So anyway, so they used to go to hotels, and they used the kalim with cold, because even though they're a treif, that's derech harai, and as long as you use only tzonin, that would be permitted.
It was
a
minute.
What?
It was
a minute. That was a minute, what?
To do that.
Yeah, but that's allowed, but derech harai. That's what it was. It wasn't that. That's what you would think it would be, but it wasn't that. I forgot the term. Either way, that's what he said. Okay. Should we, should we go weiter? What do you think? Let's go weiter. Let's go Sif Gimel quickly. Sif Gimel is really good. Let's just do the first line of Sif Gimel. Sif Gimel, the Mechaber writes, Sakinim magilan bechli rishon umutarim. It comes to a knife, all you have to do is do hagala in a kli rishon, and that is sufficient. Let's run through the Mishnah Berurah really quickly here. He says, Sif katan yotes, bein sakinim, bein gedolim, bein katanim, whether the knives are big or small, af im nishamish behen chometz, bechamin kol hashana, even though it may have used hot, you're cutting something hot with a knife, dai bahagala pesach. Ah, so if you're using hot water, or really fire, maybe you should have to do libum. So the halacha, even though you weren't using hot water, so the halacha is that hagala is sufficient. V'yafapi shesakinim habluyim mishar yisurim, even though a sack in a knife that has absorbed from other yisurim, pasuk ha-shulchan aruch b'yardei asim in kuf chaf alf shetzarech l'labdan b'or, you have to use a libun for a knife, hagala isn't sufficient. Kedei l'shamish ben b'chamin, halacha, here when it comes to chametz, we're mekel. Kevin sheyesh omrim shafilu kelim habluyim b'chametz are they or b'vad, since in general, there are some who hold, even though something has been absorbed using esh, or nami ein tzrichin ela hagala, something hagala is able to work for things that require libun, they can substitute for each other, even though we don't normally paskin that way, here we're allowed to rely on it. V'gam kein poskim sovrim desakinim ein lem din kelim habluyim are they or. Others say also a knife doesn't ever absorb through heat. You're not using the knife in fire. The af im nishamish bo ayde haor. Even if, let's say, you do use a knife in aish in fire, kagon shetachav lo bachatichas pashtida al haish. You're using it like what are those things called? Like a skewer to put some chicken on the fire. That's mamish in the aish. So shouldn't that require libun? Mikomakom rov tashmisha. Most of the use of the knife hu shelo ayde haish. It's not using the actual fire. We'll see later on in Shulchan Aruch that let's say you have an item that's used sometimes with fire and sometimes with hot water. So do you require hagala or do you require libum? And the Shulchan Aruch paskin that whatever is rov tashmisho. So since rov tashmisho of a sakin is with the hot water as opposed to fire, so therefore hagala is sufficient. And the Shaar Tzion adds as well that since when you're kashering it, it's when the chametz is still mutter. You're not kashering it on Pesach. You can't kasher on Pesach. It's before Pesach. So at this very moment, the chametz is only heterabala. It's swallowed, it absorbed a mutter, davar mutter. That's why we could be making when it comes to hagala on a knife. Let's just finish the Mishnah Berurah. And lefikach, therefore, he concludes in the Mishnah Berurah, hitir lechachila aidei hagala bilad. It's enough to do hagala. Umikamakom, mi she'ef shalal, those who are able to, mitzvah min amuvchar sheyikne chadashim lepesach. Again, to buy new knives is always the best practice. Od kasu, the sakinim habluim mishar yisurim, if it's absorbed with other types of yisurim, basar b'chalav, or from treif, afdi lechadchila tzarech lelabnan, other knives, we paskin, you should require libun, you should require a blowtorch of some sort. Mikomakom b'diavet im higil v'shtamesh behen b'chamin eno asr. B'diavet, if you did use it, only after using hagala, not libun, it won't treif up whatever you're cutting now. Now this is very, very important. Alach l'maisa, v'sakinim habluim mibasar, L'chalav dai b'hagala. Let's say you have a sakin that absorbed the meat and now used if the opposite one accidentally, you could use hagala. Acha olam, with sakin ablim b'basar, l'chalav dai b'hagala, acha olam nagu b'isr b'zel. Others, some say it's asr, you shouldn't do this. What does that mean, it's asr? There's a whole discussion, the Sfarim don't paskin this way, but the Ashkenazim do paskin this way. Are you allowed to change kasher, an item of meat, and change it over to milchiks, or from milchiks to fleishiks? So Sfarim paskin, you are allowed to do that. You may change it whenever you want. Just do hagala on a knife during the year. We paskin the Ashkenazim that you are not allowed to. You cannot change from milchiks to fleishiks. But he writes here, kasa b'tshuvas chasam sofer simin kuv yud dehecha dehigil letzarch pesach. Let's say you're kashering the knife. It's a fleishik knife, and you're kashering it for Pesach. You could use it for the opposite afterwards. Meaning your intention isn't to kasher from milchiks to fleishiks. It's the kasher for Pesach. But now it's kashered, it's now parv. Now once it's parv, you could decide to use it for the opposite from what it was before. So this is very, very important. This shaila does come up. People want to switch around their kitchen and their sinks to do this one and then do that one. So this is a discussion that requires a shaila whenever it comes up. There is one heter that's very important. I've gotten the shaila before. A few times, a person buys a house from a frum family, but they had the milchik to this thing and the fleishik to that thing. They want to switch things around. Are they allowed to switch it around, or are they subject to this halacha of you can't switch things around unless you kasher for Pesach or unless it becomes treif? The post can point out that if you buy something that was a certain way, so then you are allowed to change it if you buy it. As a lokeach, you are allowed to change it. If you are an owner of it already and you used it one way, then the ashkaz and paskim, you are not allowed to change it. If it is a shas at the chak, I don't know, person, let's say, making he's making a shever brachos, and he needs both sinks, let's say, for fleishiks or something. So then he has no way around it. So that, to me, would be a shas at the chak, and you probably can change the milchik sinks over to a fleishik sink. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up the Mirtashem next week, Monday and Tuesday.